So the epistle for the first Sunday of Lent is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Brethren, we do exhort you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense to any man, that our ministry be not blamed, but in all things let us exhibit ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience in tribulation, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in prisons, in seditions, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, in chastity, in knowledge, in longsuffering, in sweetness, in the Holy Ghost, in charity unfeigned, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good reports, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastised and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as needy, yet enriching many, as having nothing and possessing all things. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 4. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And the tempter coming said to him, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Who answered and said, It is written, Not in bread alone doth man live, but in every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him upon the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He hath given his angels charge over thee, and in their hand shall they bear thee up, lest perhaps thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil took him up into a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and said to him, All these will I give to thee, if falling down thou wilt adore me. Then Jesus said to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, The Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him only shalt thou serve. And the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Please be seated. Mercy and judgment I will sing to thee, O Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. King David in the Psalms sings the mercy and the judgment of God. I mean, one, we know the story, obviously, of King David and his grave sin against God. That God sent the prophet Nathan to come to help him to see his sin and to convert, to have the true contrition for his sin. And King David understood that. He realized what he had fallen into, realized that he wanted the sin, the pleasure. And so therefore he converted. And so for King David, he wrote the Psalms, and we have the seven penitential Psalms specifically asking for the mercy of God. Begging God's mercy for, obviously, our transgressions against him. And I would say in this time period of Lent, it is one that lends itself to us asking for, you know, the mercy of God, beseeching our Lord, you know, for that's why he came into this world, to give us a chance for heaven again. In today's gospel, we have the famous temptations of our Lord. Our Lord underwent these as an example to us. I mean, certainly we know that because he is God, he never would have sinned. But yet he shows to us, one, temptation is not sin. The temptations that we undergo can be for the purification of our soul. That God permits these different temptations as this purification for us in this life. Again, knowing, going back to sacred scripture itself and realizing that God will never tempt us more than we can handle. So then granted with that, when we fall, why do we fall? Well, in a sense, sometimes we can play with fire. If we play with fire, we'll be burned. St. Alphonsus de Liguori said that the abuse of the mercy of God leads many souls to hell. And what he's saying from that is when we abuse God's mercy, when that's what we rely upon, as opposed to understanding our sins. And as I mentioned, King David is a perfect example of this, because King David, yes, he fell into grave sin. Almighty God sent the prophet in order to help him to see his sin, because he was blinded by it. But then once he saw the sin before his eyes and what he had done to God, he completely converted. And as I said, that's where we then have, obviously, all 150 psalms written by King David, but then specifically the seven penitential psalms. We're familiar with the De Profundis because we see that in the Requiem Masses. Maybe we're also familiar with the Miserere Mei, Psalm 50. And I think in some ways, some of these psalms stick out to us because they also have the sentiments that we have. Asking for God's mercy, certainly. That is this time period of Lent that we must beseech God for his mercy. But we also have to realize we cannot abuse the mercy of Almighty God. We know God is merciful, yes. But the devil will sometimes try to trick us, deceive us into thinking, well, God is so merciful, you can stay in your sins. You'll have time at the end of your life to convert, to change. And so he deceives us into thinking that is the case for us. As opposed to when we see, obviously, some of the saints, St. Augustine, St. Mary Magdalene, King David, we see these people committing grave sins before God, but then once when the grace of God comes, there is that conversion for them. And so I think it's a good reminder to us to try to examine and see, one, our soul. I mean, Lent obviously also lends itself to making a good confession, remembering that we have our Lent, our Easter duty to fulfill, of receiving Holy Communion during Easter time. And so certainly it lends itself that we have to make a good confession sometimes in order to receive Holy Communion. And so that obligation comes again to us during this time period, preparing the soul well for that, not being deceived, one, by the devil or deceived by our own self, or maybe not to the gravity of our sins, or I have time, I can convert later on. And that is where the abuse comes in. This delusion for us. Yes, God is merciful, but he is also just. The justice of God demands the obligation to punish those who offend him. And so certainly our Lord pardons our sins when we are contrite, but he can't pardon, obviously, the determination to commit sin again. St. Augustine, who obviously would know, says, he who sins with the intention of repenting after his sins is not a penitent, but a scoffer. If you go and you commit sins knowing, well, I can go to confession. I can go to confession after this. St. Augustine says, you're not a penitent. Next Sunday, we'll see the example of where God said, God is not mocked. There's a difference between sins of weakness that we fall into and sins that, you know what, I'm going to commit these because I can go to confession. I can go another time. There's a big difference between those. And that is what St. Augustine is saying. You're not penitent. You're a scoffer at the mercy of God. And so that's where the examination comes for us. We must look at the temptations that we suffer. As I mentioned, with the temptations that our Lord underwent, he was giving us an example. And the realization for all of us will be tempted in our lives, to whatever capacity. All of us will have to suffer temptation. But God's grace is there for us to overcome those temptations. So as I mentioned, if we don't overcome the temptations, well, why? Why is that? Is it because we placed ourselves in that temptation? Is it something that we're living with, this occasion of sin? Do we avoid the occasions of sin? You know, do we bring the temptations on ourselves? So we may scoff at that notion. It's like, certainly I wouldn't bring on temptation myself. But examine your temptations that you have. Examine the source of where those temptations come from. Well, every time I go on the internet, I end up falling. Every time I go to this one place, I end up sinning. Every time I'm with these same people, I always fall into the same sins. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it is sins of impurity. Well, then we have to look at these temptations and see, am I bringing them upon myself? And that is where the time period of Lent, yes, it lends itself to think about these things, to make a good confession, to examine where our occasions of sins are coming from. But then to root them out. I mean, that's why St. Paul tells us now is the acceptable time. Don't wait, as maybe the devil is telling you. You've got time, you're young, don't worry about it, enjoy life. No, now is the acceptable time for your soul. And that is why we must practice the different mortifications. To mortify is to kill. To bring to death, in a sense, maybe our lower passions. Father Daly had mentioned on the Day of Recollection to the upper school that mortification comes from mors mortis, which is death. And so it is bringing to death maybe those passions that we have, those lower passions, those desires that we have. And so that is why we must examine the different mortifications and see what we can take on. Because it's important for us to understand. We struggle with, obviously, because of original sin, we have the inclination to sin. And that is something that we struggle with every day of our life. With our baptism, original sin was wiped away, but that residue is still there. The residue is still there for us. And that is what we struggle with. That is what we battle every day. So therefore, we must try to examine and say, okay, what are my struggles? What are the things I struggle with myself? Maybe it's sins of the tongue. Maybe it is sins of impurity. Maybe it's our anger that we fall into. Well, if those are the cases, if we look and see, what do I fall into? What is my habitual sins? Okay, from there, then we look at that and we examine, what do I need to do in order to wipe away or rid myself of those? And that is what we examine with different mortifications. So certainly with the mortifications, we see in the temptations of our Lord, the concupiscence of the eyes, the concupiscence of the flesh, the pride of life. We see what the devil was trying to present to our Lord in order to get him to fall. And so our Lord gives us the understanding of what we must do. One, you don't dialogue with the devil. When you do, you place yourselves, obviously, at risk of falling. Because remembering that the devil has an angelic intellect, he's smarter than all of us combined. He will fool us, he will trick us, he will get us what he wants. And so therefore, that's what's the understanding for you, that you must try to see and to understand. And so with the mortifications, there's different ones we can do. I talked about these in a few different conferences, so if I'm repeating myself, I apologize. But sometimes repetition is one of the best forms of learning. The more that we hear it, the more that it may sink in and make sense to us. But when you look at mortification of the body, certainly food and drink comes to mind. And maybe that's where a struggle is for you. And so therefore, Lent is a great time for you. The fasting that is asked of you, obviously, if your health permits it, if your age, well, then there's the fasting that you can do. But sometimes food and drink may be not that difficult for you. Maybe you're already penitential in your daily life. So it's not just the only thing that you can do in terms of mortifying the body. One of the things to mortify the body is with our sleep. Sometimes it's a valuable commodity for people. They don't want to give up. But again, we have to look at it in terms of if we're pampering the body and we sleep and we get extra sleep and we hit the snooze button a couple of hundred times. I jokingly told the kids, you throw the clock across the room. Well, that's something that maybe you need to examine and to mortify. For some people, the mortification is going to bed at a normal time and getting up at a normal time. For some people, it's a hodgepodge. You have no idea what will happen for them. They have no idea what will happen. And so that's something that you can try to do during the time. Because again, when you pamper the body, when you give in to the body will feel it's in control. And by feeling it's in control, well, now you're going to suffer from a lot of other temptations that normally you wouldn't. You know, when we drink too much, we have a tendency to fall into other sins. And so that's something then to examine for us and to try to see. Maybe that's something that is a good thing for us during this time period of Lent. I'm going to try to have normal time for going to bed and getting up. Be more regulated, be more disciplined with that. Also, with the body is obviously accepting the illnesses that God sends to us. Sometimes that can be very difficult. We have our manner of wanting to do something and then we're stopped because of an illness. It is what God sends to us. Again, I jokingly told the kids when I was struck with mono, that was not something I asked for or besought or anything of that nature. Throws off your whole schedule, throws off your whole life. Reminds you of that you're not in control. It's a good penance. I'm not wishing that on anybody, I promise you. But accepting the illnesses that God sends to us is a good penance. We can fight all we want against it, and it's not going to change anything. It's not going to make a miraculous cure come out of nowhere. No, I mean, if we're resigned to the will of God. So then also in mortifications, obviously we can mortify the senses, the imagination, the passions. I mean, that again, when we look at our modern world and what it is like, all of us should realize the need of mortifying the senses. I mean, you look at the world around you. And remembering, obviously, when we receive extreme unction, the last sacrament, the priest purifies your senses because he realizes you can easily sin through your senses throughout your lives. And so therefore, he purifies them with the holy oils to take away that. And so therefore, for us, when we look at, okay, mortifying the senses, certainly the mortification of the eyes is a necessity. Go to the airports, go to shopping, whatever. Go to your work. There's a need to mortify the eyes. Because what we see, what the eyes take in, the soul will have to battle. It becomes then a possible temptation for the soul. And that is why you must be careful of what you watch, what you see. I mean, it's a grave need for us to be careful in terms of that. Mortifying our ears, what we hear, again, going back to the idea of gossip, going back to inappropriate things. Again, we look at our world around you. The language that is used by the people, and they're not even mad. I mean, they're not even mad, and they just use all sorts of language, which is sad to see. Because God has created mankind with an intellect, and a lot of these people aren't even using it. They don't even use what God has given to them. I mean, in a way, they debase themselves. And then certainly our tongue, sins of the tongue. St. James tells us how easily people fall into sins of the tongue. He said, "Show me a perfect man, I will show you one who has not sinned by his tongue." Perfect man, perfect woman. But that is where very easily we can fall into sins of the tongue, gossiping about other people, complaining, murmuring, bad language. I mean, again, as a Catholic, you are called to something higher. It is sad to see how many people just use bad language. Catholics, traditional Catholics, doesn't even faze them. Doesn't even bother them. I mean, it will hit home when they're on their judgment day and God says, "For every idle word, you will be judged." He said idle word. He didn't say bad language. All the more so will he judge you on your language. And again, how sad that is, because it shows no discipline for the person. No discipline, no self-control, because they just use the language, just like everybody else around them. Do we need to be like the other people around us? Heaven forbid, hopefully not. The sense of touch, how easily we can fall into sins there too. And as I say, that's why the priest purifies the senses, because of how easily we fall into sins with the senses. Our imagination, past sins, things we think about, we've got to control that. We've got to be in control over our imagination. Our passions, letting our anger go at any point. Our lower passions, certainly. Again, we've got to be in control. The intellect guides the will to know what it should want, and then the intellect and the will direct the passions, keep them in control. Again, you see people with a lack of self-control when they just fly off the handle at any moment. They give in to whatever passions they want. So something for us to mortify during this time. And then finally, mortifying the mind and the will. Wasting of time. I mean, how much time is spent for people being on the internet? How much time do they waste just searching through different things? And where it can be possibly an occasion of sin for them, different things. I remember hearing about the Father Gauchy challenge. I had to find out, what is the Father Gauchy challenge? When he was here, he challenged people to stay off their devices, their technology. Some people still, I hear, still take on that challenge. Like some sort of a challenge that you see out in the world and different things. It's like, yeah, I'm taking the Father Gauchy challenge this Lent. It's like, good. Hey, have it extend past Lent even. We can realize once we give it up for 46 days that it's not that necessary for us. It's like when I go on retreat and you turn off your phone, you just leave your phone, it's like, wow, this is nice. Not to worry about it, look at it, different things. Then when you get off retreat, then it's like, ah. Oh. You turn it back on, it starts sort of blinking and starts doing all the sorts of things. It's like, I feel like it's going to explode. But you realize you don't need some of these things. I mean, it's amazing how reliant we become on things that we don't really need. I mean, how did people exist without cell phones? Maybe some of you don't even remember those days. It's like, was that prehistoric time or was that? It was real. I mean, there was a time period where people lived their lives without cell phones, without technology, without computers. And you know what? Without finding out the news immediately. That's one of the most damaging things I've ever seen in my life. Because half the time it's always wrong. So then these people like go berserk over something. It's like, did you see that? And then it's like, oh, that was wrong. Oh, too bad. Oh. I mean, but it's amazing of how caught up in life we are with things that don't really matter. So yes, whether you take the Father Gosi plunge or good on you if you can. I mean, it's a great grace for any of us. That's amazing. It still, he influenced you that much. I think that's great that some of you are still willing to take that plunge. So wasting time, also with our will, the stubbornness we have in our own obstinacy, what we want. I mean, for some people, it's like their will, it's like my way or the highway. It's the only thing that matters. Well, no, we've got to be careful of a mentality like that. But I would say that the will is the decisive point in the salvation of our soul. If we can understand with our will what we need to desire from God, and work on that, that is what was going to be decisive for us whether we save our soul or not. If we give into our passion, if we give into whatever we want, whenever we want, doesn't matter. That's because you give into your will, not God's will. So they say the temptations of our Lord, we know that our Lord would never have fallen. He is God. But he gives us the understanding of what we must do when time of temptation comes. As I said, concupiscence of the flesh, concupiscence of the eyes, pride of life. These different means, we know the enemies of the soul, the world, the flesh, and the devil. We know they're all around us, but do we allow them in to our soul? That is the examine that you must make this Lent. How much do I allow of them? Why do I allow them? Do I need to allow them? And so with your penances, make sure that you're doing something that will actually help your soul grow in virtue. Don't do the same old every year, same thing, doesn't matter anymore. Doesn't amount to anything, doesn't do anything for you. Do something that will change your life. Because now is the acceptable time. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.